new sound system. It's not totally tweaked yet. That'll be happening this week. A lot of work, a lot of investment and time has gone into this just so we can really, you'll be able to hear and communicate better, and it'll be better in every way. So thank you. Physically, a lot of people have helped. Financially, a lot of people helped. But I think Thursday they're planning on tweaking it, working out all the bugs and making it sound better. You know, I think it's real important. I'm glad Harvey got to do the transition and the offering today. He and Pat are going to Nepal. Can you believe it? And all I know about Kathmandu is I saw in a movie. You know, it's like they were there. It's like, and I don't even know if it's real. It might have been Hollywood. But it's a big deal. What's the percentage of Christians in Nepal, Harvey? Do you know? It's the same as in the rest of Europe, or worse, I'm sure.
6 or 7%.
Yeah. Six out of 100 people. And what a huge need, and a lot of sickness and disease. And what a privilege that Pat and Harvey get to go. I want to do something at the end of the service today, and I'm glad you're here, because I believe that what Harvey is saying is really true. We all have something to give.
Amen.
We all do. And so before they leave, and they're going to be leaving pretty quick, so I'm going to watch the clock. Before they leave, I want to, and I don't know if you've ever been a part of this before, we're going to have Harvey come up here in the middle, in the front. And I'm going to ask you guys to come up, and we're going to gather around him. And I know if you're online, if you're listening, you can't be that, but you can still pray. But when we pray for him, we're going to gather around him. And as many of us as can, we're going to lay hands on him, and we're going to pray. And we're going to release what God's put inside of us. Like, every one of you are carrying a part of the kingdom. And I believe that we can give away what God's given us. And when you give it away, it gives given back, pressed down and running over. So whatever God puts in your heart to give Harvey and Pat, he'll stand in for Pat. We're going to pray for him. So, and it won't be on the microphone. We'll just gather around him, and you just pray what's in your heart. And you may hear somebody praying in tongues. That's okay. Don't freak out. It's just a prayer language that God's given them. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit, God is speaking through us when we pray in tongues. What we don't know, His heart comes out. And so we're going to pray for you, Harvey, and what's happening in Nepal. It's a huge, huge opportunity to get to go there. And I wanted to go back to this. We're still looking at Jesus' birth. And about what happened to him when he was 12. But I want to cover a couple of things today. I'm going to try to say it very clearly. And I hope you have even this thought. Like I was talking to Thomas about it this morning. As he is, so are we in this world.
Amen.
That's as Jesus is, so are we in this world. That is way beyond anything any of us can comprehend. However much I understand about that, I know there's more. I can't even get my mind around it. Do you mean everybody I'm looking at here right now, every follower of Jesus, that as Jesus was in the world, that's the way each one of us are?
Amen.
It's true. I believe that we're discovering that, and we're learning how to walk that out. And even as Harvey and Pat are going to Nepal, they're walking into a nation of almost zero Christians, and they're going to be Jesus in Nepal.
Amen.
Because Scripture says they are. And everywhere we go, we are representatives, and not just representatives. I had this idea that it was more like, I don't know, it wasn't real. I'm representing Jesus, but as He is, I am. I don't just represent Him. The same power that raised Him from the dead resides in me, and I carry it with me, and you carry it with you. And He came to share good news with the world. So I wrote down some things that I'm thinking, and I want you to think about it. And these are just statements, but. By God's decision and His design. You do realize it's all by His decision and His design. It's nothing. God is God. And this is his plan. All of creation is formed around and serves the passionate focus of God's love. Now, I don't know if you realize it, and I fight it. You fight it. We all fight it. Do you realize that everything God created, everything was spoken into existence, God created it all with the central focus being humanity? The humanity was what he was focused on. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that literally everything in creation, the way God created the earth, do you know we're in a place in the Milky Way solar system, in the thousands of solar systems, where we are is specifically created for us. We couldn't exist as a planet anywhere else in the solar system. Now, well, that sounds awful man-centered. I'll tell you why it's man-centered, because God is man-centered. Amen. He wanted children. He wanted a family. He wanted a family. He laid down his life for his family. And I think sometimes you and I get off track. And we think we're not here because God needed slaves. He needed servants. He wanted a family. And as Jesus is, so are we in this world. And so I think that when you look at that, we were designed, humanity was created to be one with God, for relationship with God. We were created in His image. You were perfectly designed and knit together in your mother's womb to be an expression of God on this earth and to be in relationship with Him in ways no other human in history can be in relationship with Him. You can speak to Him. You talk to Him. That's why when we pray for Harvey and Pat, what you're carrying is important, because it's an expression of an infinite God. We'll never figure out everything there is to be about God. We'll never know everything He is, all of His love. But all of us together are the body of Christ. And I think when we talk about this, I just want to realize that God designed it this way. He designed this whole thing. And in Ephesians 1, it tells us that before anything was created, Jesus, God, and Holy Spirit decided, because of their desire to be with us. Everything God thinks of is us. You consume His thoughts. Read the Song of Solomon. Literally, everything in the world was centered on you. Centered on you. And this is God's plan. This wasn't our plan. Well, Alan, that's awful man-centered. Well, God's man-centered. God's God. And He chooses what to focus on in the world. And He's chosen to pour His love out on humanity. And that's His design and that's His purpose. Now, according to His design, Jesus had to become fully man. That was what Ephesians 1, chapter 1 says. Read Ephesians 1 and 2 and you'll see that God and Jesus decided before anything was that Jesus was going to become a man, be born on the earth as a man, and live and die to set us free. That was decided before ever any of us were created. It was before anything was created. God decided that. And when He did that, He did that because God's desire was to be one with you. He wanted a relationship with you. And that was God's purpose. Now, so Jesus came and He became fully 100% human so that He could purchase our freedom. He became a human. You know why? Because God's design was God's going to move on the earth. God moves in the concrete world. He moves through humans. Jesus had to be human. And so He did. He became fully 100% human. And He was the first man, the first human ever to walk in perfect union with God, 100% in union with Him, in fellowship with Him. He never broke that union with His Father. So literally, Jesus became the first man. And so the Bible says He became the second Adam. You see, Jesus showed us how to live. He set us free so that we could live this way, and then He showed us how to live with that freedom. He's a higher power. He set you free. And sometimes I think we get this idea that when we claim that verse, I'm free in Christ Jesus, and we'll claim that verse, and whatever it is you want to be free of, what he set you free for was so that you could be in union with him. And it's out of that union with him, just like Jesus lived, he lived by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus lived on earth, fully man. Now his divinity was always there. He didn't grow in his divinity. He didn't become better in his divinity. He was always 100% God, but he was also 100% human. And as a human, he lived. He said, this is how I live. I live by the power of God working through me. I live by the Holy Spirit working through this human. And that means we live the same way. Jesus set you free so you could be in relationship with God and the Holy Spirit could work through me. That's why he set us free. And through that freedom, our lives are transformed. And I want to tell you, because, you know, last week we talked about this and I showed you this key, right? And you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. God's given us the keys of the kingdom of heaven to see what his will being done in heaven brought to earth. And he does it through men. He does it through human, men and women, children. And the Holy Spirit works through you. When we pray for Harvey, you have the power, because Jesus set you free and because of your connection with him, you have the power to release in Harvey the gifts that God's given you. The same way Jesus did it with us. And you have that. You and I have that responsibility. We have that power and that authority on earth. And he showed us how to live united with God. Jesus showed us. He said, this is how you live. And if you unite with God, this is what it looks like. And all of the scriptures are revealing that. And so now, just like Jesus, you've been commissioned to bring the good news to the world. You know what the good news? To share the good news. And he gave us this kingdom. So that's what I want to talk about. You see, 2,000 years ago, Jesus made that declaration. And it hasn't changed. He gave us the keys of the kingdom. And this is who we are. And this is what we're doing today, every day of our life. And hence, I believe this is why we have this mission statement here at Grace Fellowship. We exist to create opportunities for people to encounter God. It's because in that encounters where his life comes in us. So we create those opportunities for people. We do it in worship. We do it in prayer. We do it in serving. We do it in loving. We do it in giving. We do it in thousands of ways. You know, I know Pat and Harvey are going to Nepal, other side of India, because they're going to create opportunities when they're praying for people, when they're in those services, for people to have an encounter with the living God so that they can begin to live the same life that Jesus lived, the same way he lived. He lived by God's power working through him. So we exist for that. And when they encounter God, you know what they experience. Always, only, and always, unconditional love. Every time I've met God, he loved. He loved. Every time you met God, he loved you. If you didn't feel loved, that wasn't the God I know. He is love. And every time I felt convicted, I felt loved. Every time I felt corrected, I felt loved. Every time God gave me a revelation that I was heading the wrong way, I felt loved. Every single time. Every time he touched my body and healed me physically, I felt loved. There's thousands and thousands of ways. Every time I've encountered Jesus in my whole life, I felt unconditional love. I experienced unconditional love. And that's what we exist for. And when people begin to have their own relationship with God, they begin to live joyful, purposeful lives. They begin to discover that just as Jesus was important to the world, they're important to the world. Amen. Well, I don't need to lay hands on Harvey and pray for him and Pat. I'm not important. That's the devil telling you that. Jesus says you are. And he's a higher power, right? Amen. He is the same now, has always and will ever be. You see, I think that we just have to realize that. And so we began to look at Jesus and when he went to the temple in Luke 52, right? And we talked about it. Jesus grew. And I just wanted to highlight a couple of things there because I think this is so radical that our little pea brains have a hard time getting around this. And it takes a revelation from the Holy Spirit. And you know this passage in verse 52 of Luke 2. And it says, "And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." Then I was being a little funny, and I said last week, at 12 years old, which Jesus was when this happened, he still had room to grow. He still had room to mature. He still had space to grow in his life. And you know what? We do too. We do too. I don't care. Until we go to heaven, we have room to mature. We have room to grow. We have room to expand in stature, in wisdom, and in favor with God and man, just like Jesus. You know, Jesus' whole life was set on that trajectory with a point. He was aiming somewhere. God was aiming somewhere. And to God, it was the most important thing in existence, and that's us. He wanted to be one with us. And so Jesus' whole life was focused on that point. And Jesus, of course, he did it. Now, I asked you last week, and I still mean it. It's like, have you embraced that? That you have... See, this is God's design. Failure is part of his design because when we fail, we grow. Have you settled that in your heart? That God designed you perfectly and all of your weaknesses and inadequacies, that your immaturity and your imperfections. Have you came to peace about that? That was part of God's plan to accomplish his purpose? And I think that we need to understand we're here for his purpose. I'm here for him. I trust him. I know he'll be what's best in my life. It's like Harvey said, it's where you'll find joy is him. And he has a purpose, and his purpose involves us growing and maturing. So every imperfection in us was designed. It was a part of God's plan to bring humanity into becoming one. It was his plan to bring God's will in heaven to earth. But you have to embrace it. You know, you're not perfect. Neither am I. We all have weaknesses. We all have strengths. We all have imperfections. We all are still needing to grow in maturity. We're all still need to grow in faith. There's still places we can grow. Or are you so, I was going to be mean, are you so full of yourself you don't think you don't need to grow? You really think you're there? Really? Listen, you know you're not there yet. You know you don't know everything. You know you're not free yet of everything. And it's okay. Because God created us this way, all of us, and we're still growing. But you've got to deal with that. You've got to come to a place. Jesus said, "Yes, Lord, I'm willing to grow." You can even write it down in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, that I needed to grow in wisdom. Now, that would be embarrassed for some of us to admit we still need to grow, that we still make mistakes. Now, Jesus was perfectly divine. Absolutely, 100% forever was his divinity perfectly. But he was born as a human, 100% human too. And so we have to deal with that. He grew in every way. You know, and I told you 12 times in the New Testament, Jesus referred to himself as the Son of Man. He knew he was God's son. That's what Satan tried to tempt him to not believe. Are you the Messiah? Are you God's son? Are you the one that was going to come? See, Jesus knew that. But the truth is, Jesus said over and over, he was the Son of Man. He was human too. And guys, we've got to embrace that. So I think that's really true. Now, I just want to look at one person today because we're going to pray for Harvey in a minute. And you remember, you know, the cry of God's heart was, I need a man that I can release my life through in this world, because he loves every one of us, and we were in bondage, we were taken captive by Satan. And Jesus said, Father, I'll do it. I'll be that man. I will be that man. You see, and the same thing's true today. Now, where's Jesus at today? He's seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven, on a throne, ruling and reigning, until all of his enemies are made a footstool under his feet. You know what God, the cry of God's heart is today? He cares about the people in Nepal. He cares about our neighbors. He cares about the children in our schools. He cares about you. He cares about the people you care about. And Jesus is saying today, God is still calling, I need a man. I need someone who'll walk in union with me and share the good news in this world. And it looks like 1,000 different ways. It looked 1,000 different ways with Jesus, but he's still that's the cry of his heart. That's why we're still here. We're here to share the gospel, the good news that God's given us, that the good news that God loves people, that they're not bad, that Jesus died to set us free. And now, because he set us free, we can abide in Christ. We can walk with him. We can live in union with him. You know, I love that verse, but it's by his strength. It's by his power that we're healed. He wants to heal the world through us now. And so he's still crying out. He's still, what now? Jesus, you know, when God picked that time for him to be born, the angels were singing, everybody was rejoicing. Unto us is born this day in the city of David a Savior. You know, the day you were born, God had another son. And now we get to choose it. So who's God looking for? I love this verse, and I say this because I don't want us to, we're going to go back to that. I don't want to do that. We're going to look at Matthew, 1 Corinthians 1:30. Remember what Paul said, the Passion Translation, I love the way he said it. He said, it is not from man that we draw our life, but from God. As we are being joined to Jesus, the Anointed One, that's the key to God's power working in us. And we know that. That's the very heart of the gospel, is that it's his power working through us as we're joined to Jesus. Now, I want to look at this man. Here's a man. If y'all watch, what's the name of that new movie about Jesus? What? The Chosen. Y'all watch that. They do a great job of showing the disciples, and very creative. And I really love it. I'm not sure if it's accurate, but I love their depiction of Matthew. And here I want to read about when Jesus called Matthew, because this gives you an idea. This is where we are. You can substitute your name for Matthew in this passage and not be far off base, I think. So Luke chapter 5, verse 27. Afterward, Jesus went out and he looked for a man named Matthew. Jesus has been looking for you. And you know, most of us have experienced being found by him and then slipping away again. In our Baptist church, we used to call that we have to rededicate our lives. It's like, what do you mean? You did dedicate your life, but then you sort of went on your own way. And most of us have done that. The truth is, I don't know how many times he's had to look for you. How many times he had to look for me? Like, I was with him, and then all of a sudden, I'm not. And he comes looking for us. And Jesus went looking for Matthew. And he found Matthew sitting at his tax booth, for he was a tax collector. And, you know, that background they give you in The Chosen is this. A tax collector worked for the Romans, the enemy. They were thieves. They were self-centered. They didn't care about Israel. They worked for the enemy. And Matthew was one of those guys. The Israelites hated tax collectors. Like, it was like spies that worked for the opposing army. And that's who Matthew was. He was a Jew, but he worked for the Romans. He stole from his brothers and his sisters and his kinsmen. And he took everything they had. And he took what he wanted and he gave the rest to Rome. And that's who Matthew was. He was not admired, liked, or accepted in his community. That's hard for us to understand because we don't live in that world, but that's what it would be. It's a traitor. Your family's dying, and this man is who turns him into the government. He was a traitor, and Matthew was that guy. He was a tax collector, but Jesus went looking for that tax collector. Matthew was totally self-centered and living for himself. You talk about me time, all of his time was me time. He didn't care about anybody or anything but me. And that's who Matthew was. And Jesus went and found that guy. He said, Matthew, found him at work. And Jesus said, Matthew, come follow me. And that very moment, Matthew got up, left everything behind, and followed him. You see, God does the same thing to us. He's been looking for us. And if he may have already found you, or he may be finding you again. And I believe that it's a constant in our lives. He's always wanting us to follow him. He's wanting to be in union with us. He's wanting to be one with us. And the Bible says right here, Matthew, at that very moment, Matthew got up, left everything behind, and followed him. And then Matthew did what we would do if we were in his shoes. You see, Matthew had a lot of friends because he was rich. You know those kind of friends? The friends that were all just like him. So Matthew threw a banquet to honor Jesus. And so he invited Jesus to his home for dinner, along with many tax collectors and other notable sinners. Yeah, that's because that's all his friends. Because nobody else would be his friend. So he invited all those guys, all the other tax collectors, all the other notable sinners. And of course, that stirred up. That stirred up the Jewish religious leaders and the experts of the law. And they complained to Jesus' disciples, why would you defile yourselves by eating and drinking with tax collectors and sinners? Doesn't Jesus know it's wrong to do that? And Jesus overheard their complaining. You know, Matthew wrote the first gospel, book of Matthew. Matthew was a disciple. He was an apostle. You know, God's looking for people today to pour out his spirit in, to release his power in. And you know the kind of people he's looking for? People like that. People like that. He's looking for people like us. They didn't think much of Matthew in his world. So Jesus overheard their complaining. He said, who goes to the doctor for a cure? Those who are well or those who are sick? I have not come to call the righteous, but to call those who fail to measure up and bring them to repentance. You know who Jesus is looking for? People who don't measure up. Now, you know what that feels like? Do you know what it means to not measure up, to not be good enough? In our world, to be less than, to be second class, to not be in the group, to not be liked. You see, that Matthew did measure up. In the Jewish world, he did not measure up by any means. And that's who God's looking for. So what needs to happen for us? Because I don't know about you, but in my life, I've felt that feeling of not measuring up. Not being smart enough, not being quick enough, not being good enough at this, not looking different, not having the right clothes. I've experienced that. Not measuring up in my own eyes. Not measuring up in my family's eyes. You see, that's the kind of people Jesus is looking for. You know, but something happens to us, right? When we don't measure up, you begin to feel like you're a failure. You begin to think that you can't do anything. You begin to think it doesn't matter if you pray. It doesn't matter. Nobody's going to listen to you. And when you pray for the sick, they're not going to get healed. When you do speech, nobody wants to hear you. all of a sudden, when you begin to feel that way, your mind starts to be formed by those thoughts. And people that feel that feeling, they begin to feel like a failure. And you know what happens? You start trying harder. And you try harder and you try harder, then you fail, then you try harder and you still fail, then you get exhausted. Then you start making up other things. You start looking around you to see if you're doing okay. You start paying more attention to the way everybody around you is behaving. Are they listening? Do they clap when I sing, or do they boo? Do they go to sleep when I speak, or do they sit up? All of a sudden, you begin to look and look and look for affirmation. Because in your heart, you don't feel like you're good enough. You see, it does all those things. You begin to promote yourselves to others. If others won't promote you, you got to promote yourself. And so you dress different, you talk different, you look different, so that you get approval, so that you're not a failure. You see, all these things, you die for words of affirmation. You pay attention to every word, every thought. You push yourself so you'll succeed. And the whole time, God's looking for people like us. That maybe you're not a failure. Maybe you were created with weaknesses and strengths. Maybe you were created with this look or that look. Remember what the Bible said in Isaiah 52, right? There was nothing about Jesus that humanity would think is cool or special in any way. There's nothing about him, his body, his looks, his demeanor, that would have attracted us to him. That's what the prophecies from Isaiah say. You see, Jesus is looking for people like us. Maybe you've given up. Well, you know what? Jesus has an answer for this. He has an answer, right? What happens? He's looking for people who fails to measure up, and he wants to bring them to repentance. You see, when you have that feeling of not being good enough, of not being enough, your mind gets consumed with that. Remember, he brings them to repentance. And this word isn't like we were all... brainwashed to think. Now, get your head right. Open your mind. Repentance means, it's a Greek word, metanoia, right? And it literally means a change of mind which results in a change of life. Paul said it this way: we will be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Now, I want you to notice the way that this says this, and it's absolutely true. When we agree with God, the results of that will release His power in us so that our life will change. Now, don't get it backwards or you're going to prove you're a failure over and over and over again. Because if you try to change in your own strength, it'll never happen. All we can do is change our minds. We can repent. We can repent. God, I'm changing my mind about being a failure. I think I'm perfectly and wonderfully made. God, I changed my mind about thinking of my past and my family and my everything that happened to me. I believe you were in charge, and it's preparing me for a victory and my destiny. God, I'm changing my mind about how I perceive what people think about me, and I believe that I am, you know that song, that little girl on the counter, I just think of her dancing. I love my hair, I love my body, I love my clothes, I love my room, I love my life. That's what God thinks of you. You need to repent. You are just like I am. God's looking for people, right? He's not looking for the people that think they've got it all together. He's looking for people who are willing to say he's got it all together and agree with him. You know what he says about you? He says you are good enough. You do have a destiny. You do have a future. And not just for you, but for generation after generation after generation. That's what God says. Now, will you repent of how you think and choose to think like he thinks? When you do, he changes us and our life changes. So God is looking for people. He's looking for people like us. He's looking for people who will repent. Repent. Change your mind about how you think about yourself. Think about you the way God does. He thinks you carry a part of him that no one else in the world does. And he thinks that's important. Well, it doesn't look like Steve's, or it doesn't look like Lisa's, or it doesn't look like Joe's, or whatever. Are you going to think like God, or are you going to think like America? America's way of thinking will get you in big, big trouble. Amen. I want to think like God. Yeah, but you just can't go around thinking that he made you perfectly imperfect. Why not? He did. And it was his plan, not the devil's. Amen. Growing up is God's plan. Well, Alan, God wants you perfectly mature. If he would have wanted me that way, I'd have been born that way. He had me born as a baby, just like Jesus, who grew in maturity and wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. His son grew. He didn't sin, he grew. And you and I judge ourselves because we're still growing. We need to agree with him. You need to repent. You know what? If you repent, then God takes over. Because we do. I've not come to call the righteous, he said, but to call those who fail to measure up. God, you came to call failures? Yeah, if you call learning and growing a failure, yeah, I came to call failures. But it's his plan. It was his design of the world. So today, you're all carrying him. And I believe God has created us with a purpose, and that's for each one of us to release his life in our world. Harvey and Pat? Going to Nepal. I think they're going for vacation. I don't know. Is it like a ritzy place? They may have to ride a donkey. I don't know what they're going to have to do over there. They're going there. So I want to ask, we're going to stop and we're going to pray for them because they got to go. So Pat, would you and Harvey come up here? This is Pat Davis walking in the dark. Our lights are going to be fixed too. Everything's getting fixed. It's really cool. Now, we haven't done this in forever, but I just think it's very important. If you've never been a part of something like this, you need to come and participate. We're going to surround them, like all the way around them. So y'all scoot up a little bit to give us a little more room to get behind you. That's good right there. Thank you. Would you get up out of your chair if you want to? You don't have to, unless you're my friend, then you have to, because I will call you out. And you can lay hands on the people behind them or on them. And if you have something to pray out loud, pray it. I think it's all important. And we're going to pray, okay? Let's do it. So somebody start. I'm going to turn my mic off so we can pray.